sad when someone can't forgive, won't forgive, because can't forgiving is not an option to us as Christians. Christian people go around with unforgiveness, bitterness in our lives. That's what took me away from God, was I became bitter towards my mom and what my mom did, and it destroyed my relationship with God. And so the Holy Spirit is important in our lives, because if we, let me rephrase it. I think something is wrong if when we sin the Holy Spirit, we don't sense the conviction of the Holy Spirit, because he lives inside of us. So he's the comforter. This word carries a lot of meaning with it. He's not just a, you poor baby. We think that's comforting. But sometimes comforting is saying, okay, come on now. Get your act together. This is what the Holy Spirit can do for you. Sometimes that's more comforting and more beneficial, right? Than someone saying, oh, you poor baby. So he said, I'm not leaving you orphans. I'm coming to you. And this was a promise that he gave to the disciples and a promise that he gave to you and I, that he was not abandoning us. So I don't know if you've ever felt, I'm sure that we've all felt alone. We've all felt abandoned. It must have been an awesome thing to have walked with Jesus for 3.5 years, one-on-one discipleship, you know, in this 24/7. Not just, well, we'll come to church on Sunday for 3.5 years and we'll get to hear Jesus in the synagogue. No, walking with him, listening to him. What an incredible adventure, eh? Well, what an incredible adventure. Walking along the street, Jesus sees this coffin, his disciples are with him, and he says, arise. And this boy gets up from the dead and is totally healed. What an adventure. Now Jesus was saying, I'm going away. So they must have felt abandoned. They must have felt a little discouraged at, you know, oh, so what's going to happen to us now? They might have even felt a little angry. Yeah, you're going to leave us. You taught us all this stuff, and now you're going to leave us. And Jesus promised, say promise. His promise. He never breaks his promise. He can't. He cannot break, and this is his promise. He can't break this. Never, ever, ever. It's just not in him. And so he promised his disciples, and he promised you and I, that he was going to send the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, that he was not abandoning us. In John 16:7, it actually says, it's to your advantage. It's better for you that I go away. Because if I don't go away, then the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, cannot come. And so according to Ephesians 1:13, the Holy Spirit resides in each one of us. It says, in him you also trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom you also, having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. So in the upper room, the disciples' hearts were troubled. They'd spent all this time with Jesus, and now Jesus was saying, I'm going away, but I'm going to send someone with you. In fact, I'm not, it was like he didn't give them 2 years warning. It's kind of nice if somebody's going to leave and going to retire that they give you a little bit of a warning. It was like there was, he said it once in a while, but now he's saying it, okay, we're going to stay in this room until you understand. We're going to sing that song 5 times until you get it, until you understand. And so for 3 chapters, he talked to them about the Holy Spirit. He knew what they were feeling, and he said, I will not leave you comfortless. And then in John 14:16, he says, I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, another comforter, that he will be with you forever. And so, interesting word, this word pray. I will pray the Father. It's a legal word. It's a legal term that would describe a lawyer going to court and arguing his case in a court of law. If you've never read Eddie and Alice Smith's book, I believe it's called The Advocate. He talks about this term, and he talks about the legality of being able to go to the Father. And you and I have that same legal right. I have a right, not in a a rebellious, angry way, but I have a right to go to the Father, and I have a right to ask. Ask, and it will be given unto you, right? Ask. Just, but first of all, we got to ask. It's like responding to the hug. We can't just think it. Because if I'm going to ask Tammy something, I'm not just going to try to... Can you understand what I'm thinking, what I'm wanting? No, you have to ask. And when he says ask, actually, this legal term described nearly all of the times that it was told that Jesus was praying. This is the Greek word that was used. It actually meant a legal term. So he was going to the Father, and he was asking the Father almost, I say this carefully, almost like a demand. If a will was set before me, okay, let's say that, let's not use that illustration, but let's say, okay, my mom passed away and wrote a will out, and in her will, she gave me a small amount of money. So if I was to go to the lawyer or the court and I had a legal document, that will, and the lawyer said to me, or my brother or sister, this is all hypothetical, this did not happen, but said, no, you can't have that. She told me that that was mine. Yeah, but I have a legal document. I have this piece of paper here that was signed by a lawyer while my mom was in her right mind. And so I have this piece of paper, this is a legal document that gives me the right. And I wouldn't just sit there and say, well, whatever you think. I would say, no, I demand what's right because I have a legal document about it. Are you guys getting this? So this is our legal document. Everything that we pray about, should be praying about, can pray about, can receive. This is our legal document. And I can come to the Father and I can say, God, you said. This is what your word says. If it doesn't happen tomorrow, you know what? I'm going back. Because if you don't give me my money that's rightfully mine, I'm not just going to sit back and not say anything. I have a legal document. This is so good, God. I have a legal document. And sometimes the enemy sets himself up and says, you don't have a right to happiness because of what happened in your past. You don't have a right to this. You can't have this. You can't have money. Your family was poor, and not only that, your boss is poor. You can't get out of poverty. You know what, Satan? I have a legal document that says, as my soul prospers, I will prosper. But what I need to know what's written on this paper. Because, I'm sorry, but this is so good. Because it's not in my notes. That's why it's so good. Right? But I have this document, but it's written in French, and I don't read French. So guess what? I haven't got a clue what's owing to me. I never read this. So when I pray, I don't know what I can have. I just pray, God, bless so-and-so. Because I don't know. I don't know whether I can have money or not. I listened to the internet. They said I shouldn't tithe, that it was Old Testament. So, oh well. So I don't know what's written here because it's in a foreign language to me. It's foreign language because I've never read it. Right? You getting it? Brad, are you getting it? Doreen, are you getting it? This is my legal document. And if I don't know what's in here, if I don't find, okay, 100 years ago, this is a true story, but not the 100 years. It just seems like that long ago. We were in a Christian company, Christian printing company, and it was about to go into bankruptcy. And we were about to lose everything. Our home, we had just bought a home, we were about to lose all that. And I got a hold of the Word of God because I'm not just, I know God well enough and I know Satan well enough. I'm not just going to sit back and say, okay, sirrah, sirrah, what will be, will be. Other people are directing my life. They've closed the company, et cetera, et cetera. I got a hold of the Word of God. It was a word in Isaiah. And it talked about God restoring things. And I took that word, just a portion of scripture, and I declared it. Before I knew about making a demand before God, because something, you know when something stirs up within you? But something stirs within me and it's wrong, then something is like a scraping, you know, blackboard nails, all that kind of stuff. That's what it's like. And so I know, well, that's not you, Holy Spirit. In fact, oh, Lord, do I have to say that? When we talk about hugging back, and I thought, you know, I don't know who did what. I honestly don't know. But I thought, Lord, people that are just standing, not doing anything, that is just so rebellious. And God said to me, I'm going to love that rebellion out of them. And I knew that my thought about it was not his thought about it. That my thought about it wasn't his thought about it. His thought was not, they're so rebellious, I'm just done. No, his thought was, I'm just going to love. When Jeff was very little, he would oftentimes be disciplined and march to his room, up those stairs he'd go, and guess what he would say, because he was mad. I hate you. And I would say, I love you. It didn't help. It made him all the angrier. But I just kept loving. And in a little while, I went to his room, and I hugged him, and I loved him, because I kept loving that little rebellious heart. That's how God is toward us. And so I got a hold of this word, this precious, precious word, and I took it and I walked up and down. I think I made a trench in my bedroom or something, because I just walked back and forth and I said, God, this is what your word says. I declare that we will not go into bankruptcy, that we will not lose this money, that this, and I just, for weeks and weeks, declared one word. I had nothing else to go on. I had one word that I could read and that I could understand. And I declared it. We never went into bankruptcy. Maybe we should shut the tape off again. I'm just kidding, Brock. Truth. Before God, I say that to you. Is it happening now? No, I owe the government some money and I have to pay. It's all right. But if we can get a hold of the Word of God, it will absolutely change things, because the spirit realm operates when it comes to praying, and I'm talking about getting answers to prayer. I'm not talking about, you know, just worshiping God and loving him. But when it comes to, well, Jesus saying, I ask the Father, I pray the Father. I placed a demand on the Father. I went to the court of heaven. I went to the court of heaven and I said, Father, send the Holy Spirit. And God sent the Holy Spirit because of the legality that is in the Word of God. And so I'm not going to, but I could stop here and talk a little bit about prayer, but I'm going to save that for another time when I have a bit more help, more time. And so what Jesus was saying about the Holy Spirit, now he didn't just say, God, can you just send the Holy Spirit? These guys are going to need it. No, it was the legal part of it. It was so vital and so absolutely important that he used that term. I will pray the Father. I will pray the Father, and he's going to send the Holy Spirit. And so for the disciples, it was vital and it was crucial that they receive the Holy Spirit. And it is vital and it is crucial for you and I to receive the Holy Spirit. We have him. He lives inside. But in order to have a relationship with him, in order to know that supernatural ability and power of the Holy Spirit, it can't be just a religious thing that, oh, hallelujah, he lives inside of me. And then when I'm in a really stuck place, then maybe the Holy Spirit will help. No. God, Jesus said that I'm sending the Holy Spirit, a comforter, and he's exactly like me. He's exactly like me. And so the Holy Spirit coming was absolutely that important to the disciples, to our churches, to you and I personally. Vital and critical that we know the Holy Spirit. And so these disciples walked with Jesus for 3.5 years. They knew his voice, right? They could be in a crowd. He'd call their name and they'd come to him because they knew his voice. You know what it's like to know somebody's voice. Whether they phone you, whether it's your kid, whether it's somebody you haven't even seen for a long time. If you're in relationship with that person, you know that person's voice. And so the disciples knew the voice of Jesus. They knew what he sounded like. They knew what he did. They'd been constantly with him for 3.5 years. And so we can't, because Jesus said it's vital and important that the Holy Spirit come to you, that the Comforter come, we can't treat the Holy Spirit like it just doesn't matter. We can't say, we can't be in that place where, how many of you know the Holy Spirit lives inside of you? Can I see your hand? If you've received Christ as your Savior, the Holy Spirit lives inside of you. We know that. We've got good doctrine, good theology. We know the Holy Ghost lives inside. If you don't, then you need that revelation. You need to read and believe the will. I'm going to send you the Holy Spirit. So we know that. And so my teachings on the Holy Spirit are not about we've got to know he lives inside. Listen, I was in a mainline denomination for a long, long time, and we never talked about the Holy Spirit. I never knew about the Holy Spirit except I got involved with a bunch of crazy, charismatic, awesome women. Received the baptism in the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in tongues, and something ignited within me that has never, ever stopped. We need the Holy Spirit. We can be, I'll use the term loosely, we can be religious and just come to church, and we can have Jesus as our Savior, the Holy Spirit living inside of us. We can have that. We can have all that. But unless we have an intimate relationship with him, which means spending time with him, and how you spend time with him, just take a few extra minutes. Sing in your car. Talk to the Holy Spirit. Say, come, Holy Spirit, I need you today. Right? Because we need the Holy Spirit. And so he said, I will pray, which is that legal word by a lawyer who would argue a case in a court of law. And he said, I will send you another comforter. And that word another means of the very same kind, someone just like Jesus. The Holy Spirit is not he's not an it. He's not an influence. He's real. So I'm going to send you another comforter. Someone just like me, Jesus said. The exact perfect representation. Duplicating his life exactly. So he was saying to the disciples, the Holy Spirit and I are identical in every way. So by having him in me, it's like you still have me. I don't know if you've ever thought as you read through the Gospels or as people maybe in some sort of game said to you, what period of the world would you like to live in? What period of time? And oftentimes as Christians, we think, oh, I'd love to live in the New Testament times. Wouldn't it be awesome to sorry, but to smell Lazarus and then to see the grave clothes come off and this man free and whole. I mean, come on. Wouldn't that be awesome? And to see the things that Jesus did. Well, what Jesus is saying, that the Holy Spirit is just like that. It's just like that. It's just like me. I did all those things, Jesus was saying, by the power of the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit now lives inside of you. We move on to the book of Acts and we see very same things happening that Jesus did. Exactly the same things. Remember, there's no closing to the book of Acts. We are to be Acts 29. And so the question is the Holy Spirit real to you? Is he real to you? Is he just an influence on your life? Just, yeah, I know he's part of the Godhead, but so what? It's Jesus, all about Jesus. Yeah, the Holy Spirit points us to Jesus. Remember the Holy Spirit, what he did on the book of Acts? Great joy. If you're not a joyful Christian, something's missing. And it's probably the Holy Ghost. That influence that he wants to have on our life. Do you talk to him on a regular basis? Do you read the scripture and say, Holy Spirit, I don't understand that. What are you trying to say there? He's got a job description we'll talk a little bit about. And then what about when I sin? I want to, you know, oftentimes when you go to a crime scene, not that I've been to many, but you go to a crime scene, there's yellow things up saying do not pass, danger, or even around hydro wires that they're trying to, you know, pull down and stuff like that, danger. Wires overset. I say this over this part right here, these words. If you can sin and not be convicted by the Holy Spirit, something is really wrong. Now, we can be convicted and just not do anything about it. And when that happens, the next time I'm convicted, the voice of the Holy Spirit moves further away. The grace moves further away. The grace, the power to not do that anymore moves further away. And so when the Holy Spirit convicts us, because that's part of his job description, convicts people of sin, convicts believers, that attitude was wrong right there. Oh, Lord, I got to make that right. Or, yeah, I don't really care. They did bad to me. So, well, then the next time that conviction, it's not as strong. So, warning. Danger when we sin, we must respond to the conviction of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit and Jesus are identical. Now, we know that when something's repeated in the Word of God three times, it's really important. But here we have it repeated four times in just three short chapters. John 14:16. John 14:26, John 15:26, and John 16:7. The Comforter is coming. So four times in three chapters means to you and I better listen up here. This is really, really, this is important. This is vital. This is critical. So the Comforter, Parakletos. Para means to come alongside. So the Holy Spirit, not only does he live inside us, but he comes alongside each of us at all times to help us in our daily walk and to bring the reality of Jesus into our lives. Maybe you've never thought about the Holy Spirit or his ministry, his job in your life, but that's what his job description is. You see, God in the flesh, in a person, we've got the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. I'll shorten it. They've all got different job descriptions. Just, I could go on about that, but just believe me on that. So it means to come alongside, para. Kleos means to beckon or to call. And it means a specific purpose, a specific intent, and a concrete direction. So he's asking the Father to send the Parakletos, the Holy Spirit, to come alongside with a specific concrete direction for your life and for my life. one quick example, Paul was called to be an apostle. That was a direct calling that God had on his life. I believe that each and every one of us has a specific thing that God has called us to. It doesn't mean that he'll call us to that forever. Doesn't necessarily mean that. Maybe it's just for a season of time. I'm called to be your parent. As a child, you're called to take care of me. Gosh, none of them are here. In my old age. Brock, pass that message along. That's the calling. But if I die, and when I die, and you're still alive, you no longer have that calling. So that's what this call means. It means a specific direction, a specific purpose. And the Holy Spirit has a specific direction, a specific purpose to his life. When we call someone forth to something very specific, we've seen it when Pastor Ace and I were ordained. They called us forth and they anointed us with oil and gave us scriptures, and it was a calling. So we're called to salvation, to something specific, something to do. We're called in this will that we've talked about, this legal document. As believers, we're called to serve in the local church that we're a part of. We're called to serve there, not just to come and sit and not do anything. We're called to serve. By the way, our gardens need some tending, so if you've got some time, consider this your call to do some weeding out there. But we're called to serve. That's a calling that every one of us has. We're called. So the Holy Spirit is called, the Comforter, alongside us to do something specific and concrete in each one of our lives. Do you know that, you probably might have a hard time believing this, but some Sunday mornings at 5:30 when I'm awake, I don't feel like coming to church and preaching. I feel like I got nothing. Where have we heard those words before? Scott, I got nothing. I got nothing. God, I don't know, I prepared my message, but that was what it was like this morning. I don't know, God, it doesn't seem very good. I got nothing. But I'm called, not just because it's my job description or because I get paid or don't get paid or whatever. No, I'm called to this for this season of my life right now. And so I get up and do it. And I believe the Holy Spirit comes alongside and makes it good. That'd be a good place to say amen. Just a little bit of encouragement there, church. Just that, that's all? That's all I get? Okay, then. So the Holy Spirit is called to be our helper. He's called to be our comforter. So number one, he's close by you. He indwells and seals every believer at the moment of salvation. That's what the Holy Spirit's job description is. So that's so we can experience him in a very practical way. That's the para, the called alongside. He has a calling, just like every believer has a calling. His specific assignment in the world is to come alongside you and I. And he has a job assignment to help us, to convict us of sin, to empower us when we don't feel like we've got anything. Like, he's called to give us his specific job assignment, spiritual gifts. He's called to bring healing through ourselves, through others. Those are his callings. And we need the Holy Spirit. We need him to a greater degree, to a greater measure. This cannot just be head knowledge. So I encourage every one of us, every day, get up and talk to the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, you're supposed to be my helper in this. I can't do this. But with you, Holy Spirit, you're my helper. Holy Spirit, I'm feeling part of my life right now. I'm feeling rejected and abandoned. You said you'd never leave me. that you'd be just like Jesus to me. So it's like I'm walking arm in arm with Jesus. Holy Spirit, come into my life. So our prayer is, I declare that I receive the Holy Spirit as my partner. Say that. I declare that I receive the Holy Spirit as my partner. I choose to acknowledge him. I choose to cooperate with his counsel and direction. I listen to him. I pay attention to him. And I obediently follow where he leads. For a long time, I didn't understand the power of this gift. But now I understand. And I will honor the Holy Spirit and his role as the senior partner in my life. So, Father, that's our prayer. Holy Spirit, that's our prayer. Be real. Show yourself to us, Holy Spirit, just like you did to the disciples through the book of Acts, through the scriptures. We don't want to leave you out, Holy Spirit. We want you to set a fire down in our soul that can't be contained and we can't control. We want the power, the supernatural power of the Holy Spirit in our lives. God, we love you. We thank you that when I receive you as my Savior, Jesus, you come in and you live inside of me and you never leave me. Thank you for that promise. Father, would you take just like a scales that would be in our hearts with regards to the Holy Spirit. If we've been hurt by other churches, I pray healing. Healing of memories, healing in my soul. I pray for those people that just don't seem to be able to forgive. And God, Holy Spirit, let there be a fresh conviction of sin and a fresh response of repentance to that. Jesus, we love you. We love you for dying for us. We love you for welcoming us into your presence. Oh, that's so awesome. Thank you. Now, Father, take this word about your Holy Spirit and something of it, make it real to us. Thank you that he's the comforter. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you for the legal right that I have to come to the throne of God and make requests to you. Increase our prayer life. Increase our knowledge and understanding of the legal right that I have. In Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen, amen. Bless you. Could somebody let the girls in the kitchen know that we are ready for our Chopped event? Woohoo! All right, so just have some fellowship with one another. Brock will put some music on, and then we'll wait for them to come up. Give us direction.